Hello, hello everybody. Welcome, welcome. It's Joanna. And this is our first coaching clinic call for the Coaching Mastery Circle. I'm so excited to be here with all of you. Before we start, I just want to let you guys know I'm slightly under the weather. I'm totally fine, but just slightly under the weather and just drinking a lot of fluids. So if you hear anything in the background, it's me just filling up my water so that I can continue drinking and get through whatever I've got going on here. Anyway, like I said, I'm so happy to be here with all of you today. Our call today is a coaching clinic call. And for those of you that haven't been on a coaching clinic call with me before, you're in for a treat. These are really, really great calls. So, you know, this call, we have a coaching clinic call once a month, and it's an opportunity for you to bring forward any questions that you have in regards to what's going on with a client. If you want to review a client case, someone that maybe you're feeling a little stuck with, or maybe not even feeling stuck with, but you're just like, I feel like we could be going deeper or doing more, you know, so we'll look together at the client case. This is an opportunity to bring forward any questions that you have if you're seeing patterns across the board with clients or how you're approaching your coaching, places where you need help, inner or outer. This is an opportunity to bring forward any questions that you have about enrollment conversations and sales processes. And this is an opportunity to bring forward questions you have about your group programs or your retreats or curriculum, anything that you need by way of any of those things. Don't be worried. You know, I always say this at the beginning of any kind of clinic call or Q&A call, don't be worried that your question isn't going to apply to other people. Everybody always finds gold in all of the coaching and the feedback. So whatever it is that you need, please feel free to bring it forward. As I mentioned last week, a big component of Coaching Mastery Circle is driven by you. So there are some programs that are real curriculum heavy, and it's like new content all the time and all of that, and that's a valuable. Sacred Depths is like that. Curriculum Lab is like that. Into the Depths is like that. And then there are other programs that are more personalized in a way. And of course, like I said, I'm going to be giving you new content, but this is about integration. This is about implementation. This is about execution. This is about going deeper. And so if you want all of those things, and I know that's why you're here, I need to know what you need. So bring the questions to me. The last thing I'll say before I'll open up for questions is I just want to remind you about our call last week. If you weren't able to make it live or if you weren't able to listen to the recording yet for any reason, no worries. Go ahead and listen to it when you can. There was a lot in there and a lot of great stuff to just set foundations and roots. The other thing I just want to remind you of is your blueprint. And by no means do you have to share your blueprinting each month with me and with the group if you don't want to. But if you would like that extra accountability and if you would like my eyes on it, please consider submitting your blueprint, sharing it in the Facebook group, and I'm happy to take a look. All right. Give me 1 second here. Okay, great. So with that, let me get us into lecture mode. It's start to raise your hand. What can I help you with? What do you want to bring forward today? What questions do you have today? Star two. Kimball.
Hi, Joanna and everyone. I'd like to bring up an energetics question, I think, in my coaching, kind of with bringing in new clients. In the last month, I've had two clients from 2 years ago who weren't ready then reach out. So we did new activation calls and offerings, and they're aligned. And, you know, what I felt were really strong ECs. And there was one where it was hard to, you know, there was some issue with scheduling a follow-up. So she agreed to, you know, she agreed to sign up, and then she wanted to change the date, to change the start date because of a certain contract. Mm-hmm. And then with another woman who last time she refused to schedule the follow-up, and this was 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
And just kind of avoided it. And then, you know, she did the same thing this time, you know, about rescheduling. And then, you know, and then she wrote me today, I'm not clear on what I'll get out of coaching at this moment, and sees this program is for people working towards specific goals, which I don't have. I don't want to waste your time considering we had a false start. We didn't even start last year. But then at the same time, she's like, you made really good points. You're completely correct about this and that. And so, yeah, and then I have a client who was away for a month and now she's not scheduling. So I'm like, okay, like these are not coincidences. What am I bringing to this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's look at what you just asked, like how they, you know, kind of what you're bringing together, the energetics piece. But then I would also just like to kind of quickly touch on each of the three and next steps for each as well. Does that sound good?
Yes. I want to say one more thing is that like I'm not trying to chase these women. Like with this client who's like not scheduling,
mm-hmm.
I'm just like, do you want to do this or not? Like with this woman, like I'm also just, right, she was resistant about it 2 years ago. She's avoiding now. I don't really have the patience.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's me being like defensive or I'm just like, yeah, just really conscious of where my energy is going.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad that you're mentioning that. Let's take a closer look at that. So I agree with you 100%. We never want to be in chasing mode because that just doesn't feel good. And also because, you know, energetically, the client or the prospect is going to feel that, right? And that doesn't feel good to be chased either. So
right.
100%, yeah, like, you know, no chasing. What I'm wondering, and only you know the question to this, but I'm just curious, based on what you've been sharing so far, is, you know, there's a difference between not chasing and energetically giving off the vibe and internally feeling like, you know what, if you're going to reject me, then I'm not even going to bother.
Hmm.
And I'm wondering, like, if we can call, you know, I'm not even going to bother, let's call that zero. And if we would call that real balanced, present, open, loving place that's not chasing, but that's really holding the container and really showing up for the client and the prospect, if we could call that a 10, where do you sense you're falling between 0 and 10 here?
I feel like I'm probably at, like, a 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what is the belief or the fear or the idea that's keeping you from being at a 10?
I feel like there's some resentment that, yeah, about like the amount of time that this is taking.
Mm-hmm.
And like, cause I've been checking in about like my ambivalence and how I showed up, like the first enrollment conversation was really strong. So I think that there's resentment of like, I'm a really good coach. Like, do you want to do this or not? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you
so there's
are,
some, like,
you
resentment
are
and frustration
really good
about
coach.
The time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I feel like that's a theme for you.
Tell me more.
Frustration about
the resentment?
Time that it takes.
Oh,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
The resentment and the frustration. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I also, like, haven't had like difficulty sees in a while, like with this one client who's not scheduling, I'm just like, dude, like I gave you a reduced rate, you know, you waited a year to sign up. Like, you know, we were like in such flow mm-hmm. and now you're like not even responding to emails for weeks. Like, do you want to do this or not?
Mm-hmm. If you were to come approach that client from a place of total like self-respect and respecting your time, right, and respecting how valuable you are as a coach, but also with love and compassion for that prospect, what would you be doing differently right now?
Like honoring where I sense they're at.
Where do you sense she's at?
Well, with the client who's not responding, you know, I think that she's probably overwhelmed and it's, you know, whatever's happening is, right, whatever's happening in the coaching is a reflection of, like, what's happening in her life.
Yeah.
And I really want to give her the opportunity to recommit and be okay either way.
Yeah. Okay, so keep on going with that. Let's go with that client. Because I can already feel in your voice an energetic shift. From the
yeah.
place where you're at now, what is it that you really want to say to her? What would it look like to continue to love and respect yourself and your time, but also show up with love and compassion and hold the container for her? What is it that you really want to say to her from this place that you're feeling right now?
I love and respect you. You know, this is a great opportunity to do what's best for you. And let's also look at, like, you know, because what's happening here is likely a reflection of what's happening in your life.
Uh-huh.
And I'd love to continue to show up to support you. You know, we both need to be in to co-create what you want.
Yeah.
And whatever you decide, like, is all good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I really want to give her like the power.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where so, it's not like, oh, I feel bad.
No, 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 no. Right. Exactly. Did you, what, everything that you just shared, and I'm glad we're recording this because I actually want you to come back and use the words that you just used. They were so powerful. They were so loving. They were so, like, showing up and holding a container, but I could tell that they weren't energetically draining for you either. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, I feel like what I'm seeing is that it's like, you know, when I get tired or, like, something, so it's like I get really, like, impatient and frustrated, and I'm kind of like, all right, fuck you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right, when it's like, you know,
yeah.
I'm super empathetic
yeah.
and loving, like, that's not really how I roll.
Mm-hmm. Totally, it's not how
yeah,
you roll,
so.
But I think you get there Exactly. When you're tired, it's almost like your threshold, your patience threshold lowers considerably. And it almost feels like you go a little bit into survival mode. And in survival mode, there's no space for love and compassion for others.
Yeah, really good point about survival mode.
So it's a great, like, you can use that as a barometer now and really check yourself and find that balanced place. First of all, check yourself so you know that when you go there, it means that you have to take better care of yourself, number one, right?
Yeah.
And then from there, find inside of yourself, and I think you'll be able to do this actually pretty easily, just closing your eyes, connecting in with your heart, finding that balanced place of the self-love and respect and the love and compassion for the client or the prospect.
Awesome. And then with this woman who's like, I don't know how this is actually going to help me, and she just seems super resistant, do I just, like, let it go, or...
Well, I think
maybe this is where, like, a BBS comes in.
Yeah, I think BBS plus heart. So first of all, I think she's giving you an opening because she's telling you that you've made really good points, you know. And so, again, like, first thing I would do is share with her from your heart what you see in her, what you see. I'm sure through the conversations you've had with her, you see that she does have some goals. They may be more inner than out, you know, whatever it is. I'd share the goals that you see and ask her if that resonates. And then I'd share a little bit, you know, I don't want you to spend too much time on writing it out, but I'd share a little bit on the BBS, like on the ways to get to the goal. But I think what's most important, more important than the BBS, which can end up being a little time-consuming, I think right now the most important thing is to come from the heart, to hear her, to share with her how you feel about her, why you think it would be valuable to work together, and what you sense her goals are. And then try to get her back on the phone. How does that feel?
Awesome. It feels great. Yeah, when I got the email, I was like, ugh, and then I was like, she's right. Like, I need. So anyway, thank you so much for all the time. This is super helpful.
Awesome. I'm so happy. Good. All right. Michelle.
Hi.
Hi.
All right, I have two calls. One that's, like, similar to what Inbal asked, and one that's a different question. So my first question is, there's a woman who went to my website and she filled out the form, and then she gets an automatic email asking her to set up a time, but she didn't set up a time. And mm-hmm. she had this kind of a lack of interaction with another coach who I know, because I think she's making decisions about whether to work with somebody and if so, who. But I have not heard from her, and this other coach hasn't heard from her either. So I'm trying to figure, like, my question here is, how many times do you, I haven't sent her anything yet, but how many times do you follow up with people just to see where their heads are?
Yeah.
And then we can do that, and then I can ask the next one.
Okay. Yep. So I don't think it's, like, I wish I could get a standard number for everyone. I think it varies person by person based on what you have already heard from them, you know, what the situation is, what you feel energetically, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I will follow up, like, a good 2 times, if not 3, for most people, unless I just feel like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've really seen is that sometimes if you mix up the way that you're following up with someone, it can help if they haven't been totally responsive. So, for example, if you've been emailing with the person and they're not responsive, Facebook message them, or if you have their number, call them.
Okay. So in this case, it would be like I would try to reach her through Twitter and and email.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would for sure email, and then I'm not that familiar with Twitter, but if you can reach her through Twitter, I would do that too. It's this weird thing. Sometimes when you just get them through a different, like, communication route,
mm-hmm.
somehow they're more willing. Not always, but sometimes. So I definitely would do both of those.
Okay.
I would do both of those, like, at the same time, in the same sitting, and then probably one more time after that.
Okay. Hold on, let me write that down. And then my next question is this. So I have, there's the coaching practice, and then I also provide editing support for people. And it's not as if my calls for editing are horrible. they're not. I get editing clients. But how would you – see, what I like about coaching calls is that you can do visioning with people, right? Like, so talk to me about what you know, what you want your life to look at in 20 years and 10 years and 5 years, and how do we get you from here to there, right? Coaching, it's like you get the thing, you do the thing, and you hand it back. But how do I set up those calls so that I can get more, like, some bigger picture about what I'm doing with them.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Do you enjoy doing the editing?
Once I get going, I do really enjoy it because I love the topics that people write about.
When you say once you get going, what do you mean?
Once I actually pick up the thing. I don't think I'm going to like doing it when I first start. And then when I pick it up and I start reading people's work, I'm like, this is amazing. They should publish this, like, tomorrow, right? I get really excited. But it takes me a bit to actually make the decision to go and start doing the work.
Mm-hmm. And, I so miss living in New York and hearing the sirens.
Oh, sorry about it. I forgot my noise canceling. Here we go. That shut up.
No, it's totally okay. What was I just going to ask you? Oh, I remember. When someone hires you to do editing for them, what's the process? Do you have a conversation first, and then they hire you? Do you have, like, a first call before you read? Like, just talk to me a little bit about what the process is.
Sure. So they'll get on my website, and then they'll click on editing services. We have a call first so I can get a sense of what they're working on in their field, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
and what their bigger project is. Mm-hmm. And then what kind of editing help they need, right? It might be copy edits. It might be developmental edits. I need to get a sense of that. And then my prices for editing are on my website, but I review that with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they're good, we set up a contract. I take half the estimate, and I give them a time estimate on the call. That's the other
mm-hmm.
important reason for the call. And then they put down a deposit for half the time, and
mm-hmm.
then I get going.
And then you just hand it back to them, and you don't ever get on the phone again.
I don't get on the phone with them again. In Microsoft Word, you can do track changes. They have my track changes,
yeah.
and when I give it back to them, I give them an extensive, like, I give them a one-page summary about what I did and what I thought were the strengths and the challenges with what they did.
Okay, got it. I need to go back to your intention here. So what's your intention that you want to make the process have more depth? Tell me what you're really wanting here.
I think I would like the process to actually have more depth, right? It's not, when you're editing, it's not just, all right, so on my end of it, like, I read things that I think are, like, world-changing, right? I read a dissertation about the impact of pot growth on indigenous communities and how it's killing salmon and ruining the water. Oh, my gosh, right? that's
mm-hmm.
So, like, when I'm reading such weighty topics, like, I kind of want this whole process to have more gravitas or something. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I don't want it to be just transactional. You're going to pay me and hand it back.
So what I'm hearing, and this may be a little bit of a stretch, but go with me here for a moment because I want you to sense into this. What I'm hearing is that you really want it to be a combination of editing and coaching in some way.
Oh. Perhaps you're right.
Right? Because editing is transactional. I mean, you get to know the person a little bit, what their work is about, you know, all of that. Of course, you want to be excited about what you're editing. But what I'm hearing from you is that what you're desiring and what feels missing from the process for you is that you're seeing beyond the editing and the finished product into what the possibilities are for the product. And you're desiring, even if it's just in a small way, you know, like ongoing coaching, but you're desiring in some way to be a little bit of a midwife for whatever happens next.
Yeah. That is true. Yes.
Yeah. That's awesome. I think it's awesome because it's probably actually what most of your editing clients need from you. They're probably drawn to you versus any editor out there because there's something beyond the editing that you can co-create with them.
Well, that's interesting because a couple of my clients, I actually did do coaching with them through an institution and they came to me for editing, right? So I'm very familiar with them and their work. I just signed up somebody who we are actually doing a hybrid of coaching and editing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I personally would love for you to start leaning into that more. And I don't know how much of your income right now is through the editing. But like what, you know, based on this, what I would love eventually within the next 3 months, or it could be a little longer if you want, is like all the editing that you do is part of a bigger picture, like part of a coaching as well. And maybe some people just, it's just three sessions and the mm-hmm. editing, and maybe some people it's bigger, but you become that person that is editing and not just kind of like dropping the ball, but that they people really hire you because they want the finished product and then they want the inspiration, motivation, container, and some next steps of what to do with it. How does that feel?
I like that.
Awesome. So I want you to noodle on that and maybe come up with two packages. I don't know. You tweak this, but I'm thinking maybe one that has three coaching sessions and then one that has considerably more for people that maybe mm-hmm. want to do ongoing work and play with it. And you can post it and I'll help you with it. But does this feel like a good direction to go?
It does. Yeah.
And, you know, I'd say, like, this may not, you know, I'm not sure because I guess it depends on what state of affairs the written piece is in when it gets sent to you. But my sense is what would then happen would be, like, you'd have an initial visioning session,
mm-hmm.
and then you would do the editing work, and then the rest of the sessions would happen after that, probably. Or you might do the editing work first. I'm not sure. You can think on it.
Hmm.
Okay.
I like that. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting, and I think it's going to bring things into even more integration.
I would like it even more.
Yeah.
That would just be like, yes, this is the happy.
Good. Awesome.
Thank you.
Okay, keep me posted on that.
Will do.
Great. Erica.
Hey.
Hi.
So I wanted to talk about a client case.
Mm-hmm.
I have this client whose baby is four months. and whoever else is on the call. I'm a sleep coach. And we had a package where she could use four follow-up calls while her baby's under 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I also check her log like once a week to just check in. But I knew before she signed on, you know, she had mentioned that she was dealing with anxiety and postpartum depression. But didn't really like sense sort of the depth of it, probably now looking back. Obviously, I didn't sense it when we had that interview call. But after the initial call, you know, she broke down and cried a lot. I stayed on the phone with her an extra half an hour, which I felt totally fine with. And I had no, like, odd feelings around that. I had the time, and I was happy about it. And I felt that we had covered so much, not only about sleep, but I was really holding the space for her of all the other things she needed to talk about. And then when I checked her log later, I told her I'd pop on the log and see how her naps went that day. And she had written this, like, really long note about how she felt really angry and that she didn't really, like, know what she was doing sleep-wise. She felt like, looking back on the call, she had received all this emotional support. And so I read it, you know, and I just knew right away that, like, I had really given her everything. Like, there was no way it could have been different. Like, I gave her so much sleep support. And I knew that it was just, like, where she was, like, with lack of sleep. And so I just wrote her a really sweet note, just around how I understood, and I would be there for her, and I would check the log over the weekend, which I hardly do, but I did for her. And on the log, I mentioned that we should speak Monday morning, and we did, and it was a good call. Again, I thought it was a good call. And she was more calm, and I asked her if it was really helpful that I was on the log that weekend helping her out, and she said, yeah. And then she apologized at the end of the call, and, you know, she was like, I'm, you know, sorry if I sounded hostile, and, you know, I'm just, you know, this and that. And I'm like, I'm just really happy that you mentioned that. I told her I was really happy that she brought it up, and that I understood that it was just a really trying time, and that, you know, really wanted to help her, and that I hope that everything that I'm responding to her in the log and on the calls is helpful, even though I can't be a magic pill. I'm there to support her in what she is going through.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just brought up a lot for me, because I know I'm going to have clients who, like, think that by working with me, their situations will, like, change, like,
yes.
360.
Right.
Like, they'll have a different baby, they'll have a different partner, like, all these things that I can't change about their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And even though she, you know, brought it up, this morning I have a group call with clients. I have, like, you know, 3 to 5 people on a call every 2 weeks, and she was going to be the third person, but she emailed last minute and said she wouldn't be on, and I was almost relieved, of course, and then I was also kind of like, like, it would have been really great to have her, but, you know, I trusted that she just wasn't meant to be there. I don't think I'm too woo-woo for her. I really think I have a really great balance. And it's obvious all over my website. I'm coming from being a doula. Like, I'm not, like, a cry-it-out sleep coach. Like, I'm there to show parents, like, what's real, what's developmentally appropriate. So I'm bringing this up, even though it sounds like I've, you know, figured it out. Obviously, I'm bringing it up because I'm so sensitive, you know, and I know that I want to be, like, that coach who can make every single person, like, so happy.
Yeah.
But she's
no,
one of those
no.
clients. Right.
I know.
And so
I knew it.
Right. I know.
So.
And it just makes me, like, I actually feel like I want to cry. You know, just she's one of those clients that just reminds me that I can't. And I just do the best I can, though. Like, I'm so committed. You know, I want to see her log today and talk to her on Friday.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So,
she might be talking shit about me behind my back, and it doesn't matter.
Right, right. So, yes to everything that you're saying. So, first, Erica, I just really want to acknowledge what a great job you've done with this client. It could have been so easy to be reactive after reading that note that she sent. And to, you know, to do something reactive, and you didn't. you stayed in the equal playing field. You stayed in your energetics. You may have felt bad or, you know, whatever it is, but, like, you really stepped up and held the container beautifully and with integrity. And so I really, really want to honor you and acknowledge you for that. The other thing I want to do is normalize the feeling of wanting to make everybody happy and being sensitive when there's some people that aren't happy, because I'm a sister with you in that, you know. I know, just like you, that I can't, just like you're saying, you can't change people's relationships and their babies and their blah, 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 you know, all the stuff. And there's some people that are going to be upset about it. And even though I know that that's just the reality, I too, you know, can, like, feel those feelings inside of, I know I did my best, but I wish I could, right, all that stuff. And so I just want to normalize that for you and say, like, that actually everything that you're saying to me really shows me that you're on the right road 100%. And it's about just continuing to process and to go deeper with all of the pieces that have come into your awareness. In terms of more some concrete pieces, there are two things I want to mention. The first is, I actually think it's valuable and important. This is, like, about marketing, but it's actually about client work. It's related to client work. I think it's important and valuable in our marketing and in our enrollment conversations and in our initial calls with our clients, like, to let people know what we can't. We're obviously letting people know what we can do, but we also let people know what we can't do and what is not realistic within the realm of our support. And that's why, you, those of you know, and you've heard me say this and you've seen this in my marketing, like, I flat out say, you know, if you're looking for one of those fly me to the moon and back coaches in a day, I'm not your person. I don't know how to do that. I have no interest in doing that. It's not within the realm of the container.
I love hearing that, and I want to, like, go on my website later and add that part that is completely missing. The can'ts are not on there, and I think I know why. It's because I've been wanting to help everyone, but I can just make it clear now that I won't.
Yeah, we have to set realistic expectations, always with stretches and always with, like, expansion in mind. But it's actually really important for the client container to set and to be clear on realistic expectations. So I'm glad that resonates. And then just the last piece I'll throw in there. I'm not going to say too much about it, just for you to think about. As someone who has gone through postpartum depression, I had it quite severely with Tamina, with my older daughter. I wish, even though it's hard to tell someone, I think you have postpartum depression. Like, at that time, I wish one of the practitioners, I had a lactation person and a this and that, nobody said, I think you have postpartum. And I think it might be really helpful for you to get supported in that. And this is what I can do, but it's out of my scope of expertise beyond. And so I'm not saying you need to tell this woman that, but if she doesn't know that what she's going through right now is postpartum depression, and she's relying on you to fix something, which you're just not equipped, right? Like, you're not equipped to do that.
But well, I also don't think
may
so.
Want to
I also don't that. Right. I love it that you said fix, because it came up with another client, well, prospect client yesterday. I was like, I don't fix things.
So is all of that helpful? Good stuff to think about?
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. Great. Kendall.
Hey, Joanna, can you hear me?
I can. Hi.
Oh, great. Hi. So I just wanted to jump on today and call myself out a little bit in terms of, like, just being sort of disconnected and really wanting to get back on track with, all the trainings and clothes that I've missed. And I'm kind of freaking out a little bit because I'm kind of like, oh, my gosh, something new has started, and I'm so behind on what has
You're not behind. You're not behind. You're not behind. And, of course, you're disconnected because we took a month off, and I know that you have kids and you're on the school year, you know, like all the things. So the fact that you're here and you're outing yourself, you're calling yourself out. You're all good. You're totally all good.
Okay. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. You're welcome. So what is it, what's going on with you and your client work and your business that would be really helpful for us to look at and to, like, just get you even more connected in here?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I know when I was on what I felt like was on track before and receiving so much from what I was learning, it was directly translating to how confident I felt with patients, and I could see how it was showing up and just, you know, my confidence, but also what I was able to offer in terms of, you know, helping people through different situations. And I felt like I, and this is a pattern for me, I know this is, I get to a certain point and then I don't know exactly what causes it, but for whatever reason, I allow myself to convince myself I'm busy, or I get distracted with something, or something comes up and I kind of fall off track, and I'm like, oh, you know, I'll get back on. I sort of like soothe myself into thinking it's not a big deal. And then it just kind of, so I just kind of totally went off the rails in terms of keeping up with the calls and the learnings. And then it was kind of like I noticed that with my patients, I started to feel more wobbly when the coaching piece would come into play. So I honestly, I don't know if it's a matter of just like me mapping out a plan to continue and complete going through the calls that I had missed.
Do you remember about where you fell off?
Yeah, it was about like in March, April. I think probably around like spring break time. It was after the retreat that we had in Charlotte.
Uh-huh. Trying to remember I should look on my calendar. What topics? Here's my sense. Let's pick the pieces that are going to help you the most instead of just trying to go through all of them right now. So when you think about your client calls, are there any patterns that you're seeing or types of issues that are coming up right now that you feel like you would like to be able to go deeper with your clients with?
Yeah. So what I sense would be really helpful is the trainings that are around resistance, and I know there's one on rewiring negative thinking, which I know would be really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I feel really comfortable with, like, acknowledging and celebrating and reflecting. When it comes to diving into, like, dealing with resistance, dealing well with self-sabotage and
all of that, like, the exact thing that I do. right. It's like, exactly.
Like, okay, so, that's, yeah.
Good. Okay, so here's what I'd like for you to do. I want you to just focus on, this may sound like a lot, but hopefully it's not. I want you to just focus on three calls, which is actually just two topics. So the first topic is the befriend your fear topic, which is actually over two calls.
Okay.
And then the second one is the rewiring your negative thought patterns. Don't do them all in 1 week. If you could listen, I don't know if you have time to listen to two in 1 week, but if you can listen to both Befriend Your Fears first, either over a week or two, and then just start implementing, and then when you have a chance, listen to the rewiring, and then, you know, we can check in after that, but just list just by those three with all the other things you've already taken in through Sacred Depths, you're going to start seeing forward. You're going to be able to do a lot more with your client call. So
okay.
I'd love for you to do those. And then if you didn't get a chance to listen to our first call last week for this, for Coaching Mastery Circle, the kickoff call, I'd love sometime. Maybe you can do it on your way to Charlotte, because I know I'm going to see you in a few weeks for Into the Depth.
Right.
I'd love, and that would actually be a great just kind of way to come into Into the Depths. I'd love for you to listen to that call, because there's coaching pieces in it, but there's business pieces in it. And one of the things that I really see for you, Kendall, is that you're ready to level up your business. This is really the time. Like, you're ready to earn more, and I think you have the resources you need. But I want you to start focusing on it. And it's related to your confidence and your skills and all of that. But in that call, it will sort of, like, just help you start to lay out some of the foundational pieces there for yourself.
Okay. Cool.
How does all of
awesome.
That feel?
It feels very doable, and it feels like a big relief. Like, it has been, like, totally focused into something that feels manageable, as opposed to this overwhelming. Oh my God, there's
yeah.
like so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really. I'm kind of like. It feels really good to hear you say I'm ready to level up. I'm not sure that I am there with you in that belief, but it does feel good to hear you say that. So thank you.
You're welcome. And it's okay that you're not there yet. And I'm excited to hear what like comes through as you listen to the call and do the work.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're so welcome, and I'm so glad that you showed up for the call today and outed yourself.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
Awesome.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome. Tammy. You there, Tammy?
Sorry, I had to get off mute.
Oh.
Sorry about that. Hi.
Hi.
I don't know if you can answer this question, but I had brought it up on email, and I figured it might be a good time to ask without any extra time from you. This idea that, you know, I have the 9-month program, and we have set moon circles, and then I have the possibility of women coming from different circles into the moon circle. And how to address that. Because, like, if I do the mentorship, then they get to do 2 moon circles.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I do, a package for people who aren't ready to step into another circle, or not the mentorship, but they want to be supported by the seasons and the work we do, then they get to do private sessions around the seasons with me, as well as a moon circle and the challenge. So I'm just trying to figure out, like, without creating more work, how I can bring them into larger moon circles without people feeling Maybe they're not getting their special moon circles, mm-hmm. or feeling like, who are these new people? So
yeah.
I just wanted to.
Yeah. So the key to most things in life is pre-framing. And just being explicit and speaking to the thing before it happens. That's usually like the most powerful and most effective way to handle it. So so what that would look like in this case is, you know, telling the women, you know, I'm so excited for our moon circles. They're going to be amazing. They're going to be a little bit different. Well, are these women that have already done it, or these are new people in the program?
So most of the people that would step in would have done the program. There
yes.
might be one or two that didn't because they're, you know, coming in as body workers and this is just part of their mentorship process.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But most would be, like, veterans, basically.
Got it. And is it the veterans that you're worried about having, that they're going to feel weird?
I feel like I can speak to, I'm more worried about the new people in the group because it's not something I've said outright yet, you know, because it
yeah.
was something that
yeah.
kind of.
Yeah, okay, so if it's the new people, say like, I'm so excited for the moon circles. The moon circles are going to be a little bit different than our other meetings and connections in this program because there are also going to be some amazing, incredible women from the community that aren't in this program that are going to be attending the moon circles. And I love that this is happening because, you know, within the realm of this program, we have all of our opportunities to be in our intimate, tight container. And then we're going to have these monthly opportunities where we get to open up the container a little bit and connect with larger community and really connect with other women who are on the same path. It will feel a little bit different than our smaller, more intimate circles, but my intention and my hope and what I really feel is going to happen is that it will be such rich opportunity for you to not only connect with new people, but for you to find new perspectives that aren't already within this circle and new mirrors of places of yourself that you haven't seen yet before.
Okay.
How would something like that feel?
That works. I think that's doable.
Yeah, and again,
guess,
like if you energy follows energy, right? So if you pre-frame it and you're excited about it and you share and you speak to it and you know in the ways that I did, they are, I mean, I can't guarantee it, but I feel pretty strongly that they will go along with you on it and feel really good about it.
Now, do I pre-frame that before we meet, like in an email, but also frame it when we're meeting, or do I bring it up in the first circle? Like,
I would do it in the first circle when you just kind of go through like all the different components of the program and what to expect and how it's going to be. I think it's best for them to hear your voice on it and see the excitement in your eyes and all of that, if it's in person, if not, hear the excitement in your voice.
Okay, and then the other question is, where do I, you know, how many circles do I go before I kind of let the group, you know, this other group in, I guess, basically start at the end of October and have monthly circles, except
when
for
is the
January.
First?
The first moon is October 26th.
But the people in the mentorship aren't getting all of the moon circles. Is that right? I can't remember now.
Yeah, they're only getting two.
They're only getting two?
Yeah.
They're not there every month.
No.
I think it kind of doesn't matter. You know, like you can do it however it works best for the mentorship program. But I would mention it in the beginning to the other program, know which month it's going to be and let them know these are the months.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I think it's going to be a pretty seamless transition.
I'm sure it will be. I guess I just want to be prepared.
Yeah, I totally hear you. Okay, good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Dana.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
So let's see. Well, I guess I figured I'd just share a little bit of where I'm at, and I have a few questions, I guess, that tie into there. A couple of them, it was good to hear you talk about, because like onboarding clients and that whole process of following up with them, that was helpful because that's part of what I'm going through now. Because essentially I took off from getting new clients while I was finishing up, you know, the level one coach training and then the curriculum lab. And I found myself sort of sitting on this like 8-week curriculum that I created, and I kept going back to the drawing board and I was like going in circles there. And I tuned in and realized I just need to freaking get it out there. And I was having so much resistance getting it out there at, you know, the full price that I had set for like $700, because that's a stretch for me in my beginning phases. And it was blocking me. So I committed to myself, and now I'm just surrendering to it. But I'm finding it's a lot of work for a little money at this point, but that's okay. I've committed to getting 3 clients this month for half off. And I basically put it out there and I said, this is a quick limited time thing, just because I'm updating my website and I want to get some new testimonials, and I just want people to start, you know, within the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that's how I framed it. And I got a lot of people reaching out, and then
yay!
I went, yeah, it was exciting, and I felt really excited about it because it was easy. I mean, I literally just put it on Instagram. That was really all I did. I meant to email my list. There was a lot of other things I meant to do, but I haven't emailed my list in a while. So, you know, I didn't want to just come in all hot offering them something. So, but yeah, so I got about 6 people that reached out just saying they were interested, asking. So now this is about like a week later. And, I feel like I've been going back and forth with people a lot. Like I had a conversation with someone Friday, and even then I'm like, do I even, in the future, it's like for something, if it is $350, am I having conversations with all these people? Like, it feels kind of draining. I'm kind of like, just look at the sales page and sign up. Like, all the information is there. But, I mean, I guess that's fine. Maybe for a $700 one-on-one coaching program, maybe, you know, one-on-one, 15-minute one-on-one conversation to, like, ask some quick questions. Maybe that could be okay in the future. So, we'll see. But yeah, like one of the women that did sign up first, I loved it because just like energetically, I felt like she was, I guess, a high quality lead. Like she's very successful in her business. Like I know her. She's like from my local community. And I've gone to some of her events and, you know, all of that. So it was just funny. The moment I sent her the link, because she saw a post I mentioned it, she's like, oh, that sounds interesting. I was like, oh, check it out. Let me know if you have any questions or you want to hop on a call. She bought it within 2 seconds. It came through my cart. Mm-hmm. And then it's just kind of funny, all these other people like asking me about pricing and payment plans for this program. It's just been like 2 weeks of going back and forth. But I'm kind of leaning into just the different types of people that I'm attracting and how my level of confidence is probably calling that in. And even when the woman that signed up right away, like when she signed up, I kind of got that weird energetic mismatch, like, oh my God, she's so much more successful in her business. Like, well, I have something to teach her different, which obviously, I mean, I worked through it and I know I do. Like she does something different within a different realm than me. So that was fine. But so that's sort of, everything I've been going through with that. And so now I have two more people that had said yes, but they still haven't signed up. So I guess I'm just going to take what you said and just follow up with them in a couple different ways this week, because I really want to have my three people by this week. So follow up in a couple different ways with them via email this week. And then if, you know, if they don't answer, because one, I just haven't heard from. And I guess there's so many times you can follow up with someone and not hear back before you open the spot up again.
So what I would say is follow up with them. And like I said to some other people on the call today, call, I think I said this to Michelle, like, if you can call, I would call. I would just pick up the phone. People rarely do this anymore. And leave a message if they don't pick up, but have them hear your voice. Tell them you're so excited to get started and you have that spot reserved. And what they just need to do now is make their payment, and this is how they can make their payment, and that you'll also send an email, you know, with the link again. And if they don't want to take the spot, you have a waiting list, so please let you know by the end of the day or something like that.
Okay.
That's what I would do with those two folks. Because the emails haven't, you know, they haven't been responding, so I think you need to kind of level it up. You take it to the phone.
And even if it is a response, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, I'm still interested, and my kid just went back to school. And then it's like 3 days later, I'm like, well, I gave you the link to pay.
Exactly. Yeah, so I would definitely say the thing of, like, you know, there are other people that would like to take the spot if you don't want it. Yeah, I want you to take the spot, right? But if you feel like you're not ready, please let me know today.
Okay, yeah. Because I'm definitely feeling the difference between a three. Like, if this was like a, you know, $5,000 program, energetically, it probably would feel different for me.
100%. And then I would say in the future, if you do something like this again, or even now, because I think you could email your list and probably more people would come out of the woodwork. I would, not, for something that's $350, at really anything under $500, even $700, maybe $700, you know, but I'd say for sure anything under $500 for you, Dana, I wouldn't lead. If they need to get on a call, get them on the call, you know, get on the call.
Yeah.
But I would really make it easy for them to sign up online. And what I would do is take all the questions that people have been asking you, like what's the payment plan and the blah, 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 you know, all that stuff, and integrate it into the sales page. So all of the information is there. The questions that people are most likely to ask are just there for them, and it may make it easier for them to just sign up.
Okay, yeah, thank you. This is helpful because I knew something was feeling energetically off, and I can tell, you know, even now I'm like, oh, my God, like I feel like I'm capped out at three clients and I don't even want any more right now at this price point and with my schedule. So, I mean, this is the edge I'm playing with, like, you know, what's sustainable for me as I exit my day job and can make enough money. And then to speak to that, like contracts, I know you've mentioned contracts. I didn't give like the two people that I did have two people sign up, actually one more today. I didn't do contracts, but I sent them an email, basically a welcome email, just stating everything that was agreed, like that they're getting and all of that. Is that enough, or should I have a contract for an 8-week, $350 thing?
I mean, on the one hand, $350, but I think it's important for people to sign the confidentiality pieces of the contract.
Okay.
And for them, like, to honor, you know, so that if they cancel last minute or they show up 30 minutes into a call and they think you're going to give them, you know, so that it's all there in writing and signed, all of the expectations. I know it's kind of annoying to do it for $350, but I think it's important also for them to sign, you know, I always have the clause in my contract, I had that modeled for you guys in Sacred Depths, like that they understand that you're not a therapist and you're not a this and you're not a that. I feel like I know it's annoying, but I feel like it's important to just protect yourself and to have boundaries set I would do it. Yeah, and I think it's just good practice for you to have those systems anyway, you know?
Yeah, and then you said you had something for us to model. I didn't see it, but I know I've heard you talk
about
it.
If you look in your membership center for Sacred Depths,
okay,
I have a model contract in there.
Perfect. All right. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you so
you're
much.
Welcome. Yeah, exciting stuff. I think it's really good stuff.
Yeah. Baby steps.
Yeah. Good. All right. Tara.
Hi, Joanna. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, two quick client support things I need help with. So one is a client who is super spiritual. She is a channel. She was a social worker, and she wants to – she is now shifting out of it. She actually was just let go from her job, which is something she kind of wanted, but now it's like full-on real for her, and she's having – you know, it's a big adjustment. It's challenging a little bit sometimes to coach her because she's so like, here's what my guides say. Mm-hmm. And the truth is that I have consistently seen a lot of times where guides say something and it actually, like, it totally works. Like, it feels like it's not like her guides are giving her inaccurate things, including she said her guides helped her, like, in a very short period of time get her Facebook business page from, like, 100 people to 4,000 people. So mm-hmm. I don't want to discount the guides because they're totally there, and that's totally how she works. It's all about spirit for her. And I have the anxiety because I'm like, okay, she doesn't have a social work job anymore. She needs to start monetizing this. And I think her ideas sometimes seem a little bit like I think she wants to create online classes. I think that might take a while. The summit thing, it doesn't fully resonate with her. She likes the idea of doing one-off interviews, but I told her that I haven't seen those really build your email list in the same way a summit does. So I'm just feeling like, what is the best pathway to helping her? She does see that there could be some one-on-one people who are like in an ascension process who she can support. She has a lot of clinical skills and massage skills and, you know, intuitive skills. So I'm just wondering what you think might be a good next step or framework for thinking about this client.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things here. So first of all, since she's open to the one-on-one, I would help her lean into that and put a strategy in place to do individual outreach, you know, put a program, a one-on-one program together, and then do individual outreach to get those people on the phone. And you can just, you know, always be transparent and let her know, I love the idea of the online classes. We're going to get there. I also want to give you a way to bring in income more quickly. And this is the best way to do it. So we are going to work on the online classes as you do this. But let's, you know, bring in some income sooner than that. So that's one just strategy-wise that I think is really important to lean into. And then in terms of, I guess, I don't know, however you want to call it, bigger picture, inner, whatever it is, I love that you're bringing this forward because, you know, guides are not, but the guides kind of heighten it. It's such a great example of how, as coaches, you know, our clients' inner wisdom always has to trump whatever our consulting expertise is, in a way, right? That being said, what's always important is to help our clients clarify between their inner wisdom, i.e. or their guides, and their fear. Because sometimes fear, which can be very sneaky, can show up and mask itself as the guide, right? Or as the inner wisdom, or as the intuition. And it may be that everything that's coming through for her, not to do the summit, the blood, you know, all of that is aligned, and that truly is her guides. But what I'm hearing from you, Tara, is that you're actually not 100% sure, and it may be her fear speaking instead in very sneaky ways. Does that resonate? Like, am I hitting on something there?
Yeah, because the guides haven't yet come up with a strategy. And I'm glad they can get her Facebook business page there, but I still don't know that that's going to fully monetize, you know, yeah, without making offers or inviting people into an enrollment conversation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not super lit up about the one-on-one. She seems to really be on, like, this hybrid model of a course and one-on-one. And, yeah, but...
Yeah,
and I also
wonder if
I mentioned using massage. Yeah, because she's done massage and made money in the past.
I would lay all that out for her and let her know it's her choice, then you'll support her and you trust her inner wisdom.
Yeah.
But from your experience, this is what you've seen, and this is where you sense the potential is. But also let her know that you support her. But I do think it's also worth some inner work, kind of tapping in and seeing what some of the limiting beliefs or fears are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, around the one-off interviews versus the summit. It may be that she is meant to do the one-off interviews, but I think it would be valuable for the both of you to just check in to see what the beliefs or the fears are there.
Okay. That sounds good. And the other client, is it okay if I just go with the second one? This is the last client thing. So this client, I've really helped her mostly with our acupuncture practice, and that's really thriving, and she really wants to start coaching, doing one-on-one coaching as an offering in her work. She has a background in the five elements, and she's like some kind of a Taoist. She has some really cool like Taoist PhD training. She's, you know, so she clearly knows a lot of stuff, and like her passion is really with how the five elements and these Taoist practices can help you create more success in your life. And she has a talk coming up where she's unveiling, you know, this kind of, it's a really good talk. And then there's like the offer that she's making at the talk, which she does understand that enrollment skills are new for her and she wants to practice it. So she is going to do an offer that's like an enrollment conversation, but it's cool because it like integrates the five elements, and she's going to use that to make personalized recommendations for people based on their birthday. So I think that's good. But like, I noticed that a lot of these other offers for this conference that I'm a part of, like a lot of times they have more than one thing. I don't necessarily think she has to. I mean, it's like $47, but I also wonder if it's hooky enough for people, this idea of kind of like sacred success. I mean, she definitely can be loud and proud that she has a six figure, you know, acupuncture practice. But it's new and she's just having a lot of fears come up. Like, will people buy this? And you know, I don't know how many people even, you know, because the talks can range, it could be anywhere from like 20 to 60. And she's like, what's reasonable, you know, for in terms of how many in the room will sign up for a, you know, an enrollment conversation with her for that $47 thing, which, you know, it's a high value thing. It's beyond an enrollment conversation, but I'm just not sure what is realistic. Cause I told her I've seen a lot of variation at these events.
I just want to make sure I'm clear. Is the $47 for that that enrollment conversation or whatever she's called? Okay, I just wanted to make sure I was clear.
It is. The norm at these events is anywhere from like $27 to $197. So I feel like she's definitely in the, you know, the lower, you know, the
I think people
would step in for that.
I think she's going to get a ton of people step in if she sets her talk up the right way and activates gap and vision and shows and connects with the people in the room and then shows the value of that call, I think she can convert half the room easily at, you know, at that price point. Honestly, I really do.
Okay.
I think sometimes a $47 call can convert better than a free call.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, So I think
so like, are people going to want this, like this success thing? Because she's like, I've always been an acupuncturist. I know I can create results in a session, but this is new for me. I mean, I think it's just a lot of her fears coming up.
Yeah, but it sounds like this
you
is
think
where
it's
she wants to expand to.
It is,
right?
It is. She really
So I mean, throughout the talk, she should totally drop that. People will know that they can come to her for acupuncture as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think the people that want that will just organically get in touch with her
about
that.
Yeah,
this is an opportunity for her to like. She'll get that business anyway. But I think it's an opportunity for her to stretch a little bit and to practice and experiment, you know, leaning into these new places that she wants to be expanding into.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Awesome. And you think it's hooky enough for, like, success, kind of that success coaching through the five elements? She does do a good job in her talk of activating vision and gap. Yeah.
That's going to be the key. Yeah, people love the five elements. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that are coaching, you know, using the five elements as foundation. It's going to be all about gap and vision and showing how the five elements are the bridge. But if she's doing something based on people's birthdays, that's also such a great magnet, right? Because it's like...
That's what I thought.
Yeah, it's for the same reason why people love readings, you know, palm readings or astrology readings or what's your personal color based on your, you know, it's like people love stuff like that. So she should definitely underscore the, like, based on your birthday piece, people will jump to that for sure, I think.
Yeah, well, the challenge is, and I agree with you 100%, and that's the coaching I've been giving her. When she actually explained to me what she did, though, I saw that it was a little bit more like, deal with the issue. Here, what's the issue you have coming on in her life? So I gave her, like, how to do an enrollment conversation, and she did take to that well, because the fear I had is, like, people get all this wisdom, but it's not actually relevant to her coaching. You know what I mean? It's like they're about to break up with somebody. And so I was like, no, I think it needs to be the structure of an enrollment conversation, but, like, in the recommendations part, like, really weaving in, like, based on, you know, weaving it in rather than it being, like, an astrology
session. Exactly.
She has
to have them identify their vision for sure, not just the one little thing
that's
going on. And then, then the bridge, which is based on the birthday and the five elements, gets woven in to that.
Mm-hmm. That's what I told her. Okay, cool. Yeah, I think she has the potential actually to really rock it because she's very ambitious and structured and her talk is really solid. So, cool. I'm feeling good about her.
Great. Yeah, good.
Awesome. Oh. I am complete. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Let's see who's next. Gwen.
Hi.
Hi.
So this is a really nuts and bolts. There's not a lot of depth to this question, but it's it's a question nonetheless. So I am, you know, taking the exciting step of I found sort of an easy, what I think might be an easy avenue to get like a very, very, very part-time, limited scope virtual assistant sort of help for things like Facebook posts and newsletters where I would create the content and somebody else would be in charge of like adding the pretty picture and formatting and scheduling and all of that. I am so confused and lost in the land of Facebook. I have like, and I've asked this question before, but I need a way to simplify or understand like sort of putting categories how I use Facebook for business purposes. I don't really use it socially, so that's one clarification. So what essentially I'm doing is I'm making a list of all the things that I want this virtual assistant to do, and I'm just, it's like really quickly becoming complicated about like cross-posting and blah, 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 blah. So that's the thing I want support around is like how to be clear about what support I need around Facebook to use it as a business tool. Does that make sense?
I think it does. I think there's a question before that, which is how are you going to use Facebook as a business tool? Because it's
right.
hard to identify, right, the support that you need. I feel like you're not clear yet on how you're actually going to use it as a tool. So I'm going to say there's so much to say, but I'm going to say a couple of things that I think will be helpful and help you get started. So
specifically about like the relationship between my personal page, which I don't use personally, mm-hmm. and my business page. Like, should I get rid of one? There we go. Thank you.
Okay, so there's different schools of thought on this, and I'll tell you. I mean, I'll speak from what I've seen, but I know that there are some people that would say differently.
Mm-hmm.
What I've seen is the easiest way to get engagement is to operate from your personal page, not from your business page. And
okay.
the reason why I think so, aside from just seeing it in my own experience and of my clients, is because social media is social.
Mm-hmm.
And people are on there, you know, on one level or another to socialize, i.e. connect with other people. And they're more willing to connect with a person than with a business.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't mean that you have to use your personal page for socializing or, you know, for your personal reasons if that's not what you do, what you want, how you want to use it. But it does mean, like, your social media is always more powerful when it's personal, when people feel like they're getting a taste of you and who you are and your life. And then also they're getting, you know, your messaging and your content and your invitations to your business and all of that. So my suggestion... And again, someone else may steer you differently, but my suggestion would be if you're just going to post in one place to use your personal page and
mm-hmm.
to have it be a little bit of a hybrid of, I mean, it doesn't have to be more than 20 or 30% of more personal type things.
Sure.
But to have,
and I think that what I would be posting would have, I think
mm-hmm.
I can walk that line because my
yeah.
work is personal and so
yeah.
that doesn't feel, and I'm fine with being visible in that like personal as it relates to my work way, so the content I feel okay about that
mm-hmm.
makes sense.
Yep.
And you said like about 30% more personal as opposed to like more
mm-hmm.
promotional or something.
Mm-hmm.
Do you put your events on your on your business page and then just share via your personal page? I know this is
so
crazy,
up until,
basic
yeah.
questions.
Yeah, so up until recently, I've retained my business page for events and for ads because you need a business page for ads. I think you need it for an event. I don't think you can do an event as a personal, but I'm not 100% sure on. So up until
mm-hmm.
recently, just in the last month or two, I've decided to experiment again with upping the business page, and so we're starting to post more there. And actually, the posting is just recycling from my regular page and, you know, the Facebook group and all of that. But I have always retained that business page for those two purposes, for the event and if I want to run
mm-hmm.
an ad. And then, yeah, you can just post – then you can post it on your personal page too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't hurt if you have an assistant to take whatever you're posting on your personal page and just repost it, like schedule it in on your business page if you wanted
mm-hmm.
to do that. It certainly can't hurt, and especially if there's like a week lag on things, you know, so people, it'll hit different people at different times.
Mm-hmm.
You can absolutely do that too. Can't hurt.
Mhm. Okay, that gives me two more steps than I had before. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I'm so happy to feel all these different questions from all these different levels in this forum. So thanks for that.
You're welcome. And I'm really happy that you're going to do more on social media. It's time.
I'm working towards it. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. I've got one more hand raised, and I'm going to take it. I don't know who it is, though. 0684. Who is that?
Hi, Joanna. This is Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi. So nice to hear all the familiar voices. Looking forward to see some of you real soon.
Yeah,
looking forward. It's really great. I have a question. It's a practical question. I'm thinking of doing a mastermind. And because it always helps when you sort things out for us, so I'd like to ask this question. What are the elements of a successful mastermind, and especially the role as a facilitator? Because I don't want to teach. It's not a course. And you also talked about a mentorship program. What do you think is the difference, and what are the elements of a good, successful mastermind? Can you shine some light on this? Maybe it's a big question, but...
No. It's a great question. I'm going to answer it, parts of it, right now. But also, mm-hmm. If you didn't... Were you on yesterday's online facilitation call for Into the Depth?
Yeah, then you talked about the 2 to 6, 6 to 24, how many people participate.
Yeah, okay, I just want to make sure you heard all of that because that's a lot. You know, I want you to integrate what I was sharing in there as well. Yeah, so the biggest thing, if you're going to do a mastermind, step one, just foundationally, is to understand how a mastermind is different than a regular online course.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obvious, but a lot of people that say something is a mastermind, it's actually not a mastermind because they don't really know the difference. And the difference is that a mastermind, a very large component of a mastermind and what makes a mastermind successful is the community aspect, is the masterminding, mm-hmm. is the brainstorming, is the relationships between the people in the circle, mm-hmm. and what they can learn from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why, as the leader and the facilitator, it's important just to be aware of that from the get-go is because you want to design the format of the mastermind. And there's lots of different effective mastermind formats, but you want to design mm-hmm. the format of the mastermind to include a lot of community connection and community support.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the values.
Yeah. Okay.
I find, how long are you thinking it will be?
Well, I'm thinking maybe 6 months mastermind, gathering maybe once a month online and maybe 2 times live. I'm not sure. It just pops up yesterday also. I did a mastermind a few years ago, but I think that was also a part of that was teaching. So it was kind of a mix, but I'd like to do a mastermind now.
Okay, great. So this is going to require a little bit more than the time we have right now, but I'll just say a couple of things so far. I don't recommend meeting once a month.
Okay.
Hold the container, right? We mm-hmm. always want to think about containers too. When you have something that only meets once a month, you're not mm-hmm. It's so hard to be engaged. You're not it's not consistent enough. At minimum, to hold a container with a group, that you need to be meeting twice a month.
Okay. And it's not because you have, for instance, a Facebook group where you can be daily? That isn't community enough?
Yeah, it still is not. It's not enough. It's not the same. But you don't have to be preparing tons of things, right? So you can have one call a month that's just a Q&A call like we're having today. Right?
Yeah. Okay.
If you want to type out in the Facebook group a little bit more about what the purpose of the mastermind is, you know, where it's
just talk about
the beginning and the end of the journey, like who's coming in,
yeah.
what they want to achieve. I can help you shape it a bit more. And when we're in person in a few weeks, we can, you know, sit down at lunch and also take more of a look. Is this good to just kind of start to noodle on it a little bit more, and then we can fill in some more details?
Yeah, I'd love that, and I will work this thing out. And maybe sometimes you wrote an article or a blog post about it, maybe recently or a few years ago. I would be happy to read it. So, or a book
or some articles. I don't know that I've written so. The reason why I haven't written a post on it is because where we go from here, you know, beyond what I've already shared with you, I think is going to be very dependent. It's going to be personalized based on who you're serving and what kind of results you want to help them create. Because it depending on that, it may be that you give them a small teaching every time you meet, like 15 minutes worth of content.
Yeah.
Or it may not mean that. It may mean that they need get it done sessions.
Yeah.
Where, you know,
like
I was talking about, right, where they need implementation time. It may be that, you know, so I want to hear more about what you want to accomplish and who they are. And then we can kind of tweak what exactly the format will be.
Yeah. I use Curriculum Lab for another program of mine for a retreat in February, and I'd like to start a mastermind in the next year. But I'd like to work this out, and this already helps. So with Curriculum Lab to mark the start of the journey and where does it end, the teachings, the sessions. Well, this is my homework, so I'd love to talk about this in a few weeks with you, so thank you. Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, and anything you want to post, just let me know. I'll take a look.
Yeah, I will. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What a great first clinic call. I know it was kind of part clinic, part biz Q&A, but I think it worked well. So just thank you, everybody. I'm so happy to be with you all today, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.